Okay, and welcome back. It's the wind after the explosion that is spreading the radioactivity everywhere. Okay, news from the Vatican. I don't know how important this is or isn't. We'll find out with Father Kramer in just a moment, but let me just do the headline here. Vatican, that's the Bergoglian Vatican, excommunicates the former Vatican ambassador to the United States. Sounds a little petty to me, but what's it all mean, Father Kramer? Welcome back. Thank you.
Yes, it's great to be back. And yeah, this has been a major topic in Catholic circles, to put it mildly.
Ah, bet.
Bergoglio has finally struck back at Archbishop Viganov. And as I've pointed out in one of my Facebook posts, that the only thing the Bergoglio's Vatican has been able to prove is to demonstrate their utter contempt for canon law. They have
total. He's mocking it, You got it, 100%. And just to clear the record, we are talking about Archbishop Viganò, V-I-G-A-N-O. It's not Viganò, it's Viganò. All right, so that's what we're talking about. Go ahead, please.
They in the document, they make certain points that simply prove that whoever wrote the document either has absolutely no grasp of canon law, or else they have a total disregard for canon law, which I think is far more likely, because these people are very cynical. They don't care what the law really says. They very deliberately try to twist the law to mean what they want it to mean.
So, oh, yeah.
Now, there's two ways a person can be excommunicated. the judge can pronounce the sentence and inflict the penalty of excommunication. That can be the bishop of the diocese, or in the case, or the pope, excommunicate a bishop or a cardinal. You could inflict the penalty, or they make a declaratory sentence, which is to say, such and such a person has incurred the penalty automatically, and they're just confirming that that person did something that incurs that penalty.
I see.
Now, that's a much weaker way of declaring a sentence than inflicting a penalty, because if you have the evidence, if a legitimate office holder has the evidence in his hand, the proof that a person is guilty,
yeah,
he can inflict that penalty. This is what they call a sentencia ferenda. So he can inflict that penalty on the person, and it is like a judge in the courtroom hearing a case, a trial, a criminal trial, and declaring someone guilty and sentencing them. But the other is something automatic that happens outside of the court. A person becomes a heretic or a schismatic, and they excommunicate themselves by the very act. So by the law itself, they're automatically excommunicated. Mm-hmm. And this is what they're claiming Archbishop Viganò has done, that he has excommunicated himself. But it's entirely bogus. Now, hypothetically, supposing for the sake of argument that Bergoglio was a valid pope, even so, it is the unanimous teaching of the great canonist who written these classical works of on the commentaries of canon law, like Vincent Vidal and all the other big names of canon law scholarship. I remember years ago reading the quotations from their books, and the one that sticks in my mind, in my memory, is that of the great Vance, who's perhaps the greatest canonist of the 20th century, who explains that if one has doubt about the person or a doubt about the validity of their election, then if one withdraws their submission to that pope, they are not guilty of schism and they do not incur the excommunication. And the canonists explain that in such a case, if the person can produce evidence to show probable cause against that pope, right, then they're untouchable. They cannot incur the penalty. Especially an automatic penalty cannot be incurred that way. It's just false. Even if Bergoglio were a true pope, this would be a bogus excommunication, just like what Pope John Paul II did to Archbishop Lefebvre. The famous canonist Count Neri Capponi wrote an article, and Father Gerald Murray, I think his name was, Father Gerald Murray did a canon law thesis for the Gregorian University, and very meticulously demonstrated that Pope John Paul II had got it all wrong. That Archbishop Lefebvre, according to the Code of Canon Law itself, he could not have incurred that penalty automatically. I think Cardinal Ratzinger was very much aware of that and read those. He read some of these articles and works. So as Pope, he lifted the excommunication because he knew that they were bogus. But this is the thing about Bergoglio. Bergoglio is guilty of this, precisely the thing that he's accusing Archbishop Bigano of being guilty of, which is to say, schism. And he's guilty of schism and heresy.
Right.
On I think the 3rd of February, 2022, Bergoglio gave a catechetical instruction explaining, according to his mind, what is what we call in the Church the communion of saints. That's one of the articles of faith that's in the Apostles' Creed, the communion of saints. And in that, he said that no one can separate themselves entirely from the Church. They cannot separate themselves from the Church because they belong to the communion of saints. So he asked the question, what about blasphemers? What about people who have apostatized? Now, when a person commits apostasy, they are, by their own volition, leaving the Catholic communion. They're leaving the Church because what unites you to the Church is your faith. And if you say that faith is wrong, I reject that. I reject the creed of the Catholic Church, all the tenets of its faith. I reject them. Then you're outside of the Church and you excommunicate yourself. According to Bergoglio, they cannot be separated from the Church. It's something metaphysical that takes place as a member of the mystical body of the Church. And so he says yes, that they went home to heaven. Even the blasphemers, even the apostates. Now, this is contrary to the perpetual faith of the Catholic Church, the perpetual doctrinal tradition, the clear and explicit teaching of sacred scripture. There is no possibility when a person makes a statement that is so explicit, so direct and immediately contrary to the faith of the Church, that right. person thereby demonstrates beyond all shadow of a doubt that he is a heretic and he is not a member of the Catholic Church. He's outside of the Church for very obstinately holding those beliefs, because even before he was elected, he was already spouting these ideas. And here he is in 2022 saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So he's obstinate in heresy. There's just no way he can be considered a member of the Catholic Church. He has separated himself from communion with the Church, which is to say, uh-huh. as a heretic, he is a schismatic. As St. Thomas Aquinas explains, all heretics are schismatics, but all schismatics are not heretics. One can reject the Pope's authority. One can reject the Pope's authority by refusing to be his subject. That means you know that a man is a pope, but you refuse to be under him. You refuse to be under his authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's properly what is schism.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you have some reason to doubt the validity of the man's election, or if you have strong reason strong evidence that the man is a heretic.
Got it.
That puts him outside of the church, and you are under you. You have not just the right, but the obligation not to be subject to such a false pope. If the man is clearly and unmistakably a heretic, you have the moral obligation to separate yourself from him. This is a very solemn teaching of sacred scripture, that the heretic is to be avoided, to be shunned, and because of that, it has been unanimously taught by theologians in past ages that if a pope were to become a heretic, the church would have to take measures to remove him. He would, and this is explained first. The first pope to explain this was Pope Innocent III.
Got it.
Saying that if I were to become a heretic, I would be good for nothing, to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men. And he says that the reason why even the pope, if the pope were to become a heretic, even though the pope could only be judged by God, if he is a heretic, he is already judged by God, and he can be judged, therefore, by the church. He is not the pope anymore, so he can be judged by the church. He can be cast out. He can be cast out, and mm-hmm. he can be excommunicated, because Pope Innocent says that the heretic is an alien. He's an outsider. And his teaching came from a great canonist, a professor of canon law, Uguccio of Pisa, who was teaching canon law in the late 1100s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was Uguccio who, I think he was the one who coined the expression. Well, I think I've seen other canon law works from that same period using the same expression, so I'm not sure who used it first. But Uguccio made it famous. If a pope becomes a heretic, the heretic is less than any lower rank, is less than any other Catholic, is of lower rank than any other Catholic.
That's so pretty low.
So even if he was the pope, if he becomes a heretic, he's lower than the most lowly street sweeper.
Got it. Understood. I get it. All right. So let me ask you this. What is the future of Carlo Maria Vigano, who has a big following around the world? He's spoken out correctly about this pope and many things. Now he's excommunicated. What will become of him? Can he go it alone as an independent? Is there another organization that is now standing aside from the fraud that is the Vatican now that he can join? Will he start something like that, a valid movement against the Bergoglians and other criminals that are in the Vatican?
He has stated very emphatically that he is in communion with the Catholic Church, not with the Bergoglian Synodal Church. The Bergoglian Synodal Church is a creation of Jorge Bergoglio. It has its roots in the Second Vatican Council, but that was like a cancer within the body of the Church, the Second Vatican Council. But this is when the tumor grows so big that it has to be removed from the body. Heresy, unlike a cancerous tumor in a human body, it has to be removed surgically sometimes. But the cancer of heresy removes itself; it separates itself from the body of the Church with a very visible act of breaking off communion with the Catholic Church, because it separates itself from the faith of the Church, and therefore the primary bond of communion in the Church is the faith. So if you openly break with the Catholic faith, you break with communion with the Church. You excommunicate yourself and you separate yourself from the Church. And this is what Bergoglio has done. In 2022, for example, he went so far as to say that even the apostates, they're saved. They're still part of the Church, they're saved. Whatever happened to repentance? I mean, the perpetual teaching of the Church, what Bergoglio was taught as a child, the catechism that was taught in the schools when Bergoglio was a child, those were catechisms that could not be used officially by the Catholic Church unless they had the approval of the Sacred Congregation for the Clergy in Rome. And in those days, they called it the Congregation of the Council for the implementation of the decrees and the canons of the Council of Trent. So catechetics fell under their jurisdiction. So every catechism that was going to be used by the Church in the most far-flung diocese of the world had to be approved by Rome, by the Congregation for the Council. And that's the way they could be absolutely certain that what is taught in every Catholic school and in every Catholic parish for catechism was the doctrine of the faith approved by the popes. So there was no excuse. Bergoglio has absolutely no excuse. The criterion of the Church for judging a person to be a heretic has always been that when there is something that is so widely known by all Catholics that it's impossible for them to be ignorant of it. Anyone who has gone to a Catholic school cannot be ignorant of these teachings, because these are the most basic teachings. And if that person immediately, directly, and explicitly rejects that article of faith, he has proven himself beyond all shadow of a doubt to be a heretic, a formal heretic, and he separates himself from the Church. This is the jurisprudence of the Roman Church. I read in books written by the most expert authors, authorities in the Roman Inquisition back in the 1600s. They explained this very meticulously. So this is not my personal opinion. I'm using the criteria that the Church has used in the Church's own tribunals for judging against people who have fallen into heresy, those who have attacked the Catholic faith, those who have made statements that are doubtful. When do you suspect a person of heresy? When is it beyond all suspicion and clearly, manifestly and obviously, that the person is guilty and there's no need for a trial? Just to sentence them. And that's how the Church has operated for all these centuries. Mm-hmm. And Bergoglio fits that highest category of heretic. In canon law, you would see the division between heretics and suspected heretics. And how to deal with suspected heretics, the corrections that have to be administered. But if a person manifests himself to be an obstinate formal heretic, then he's simply to be declared excommunicate. And that is what the church needs to do with Bergoglio, because he is not a member of the Catholic Church. He does not have the rank of the Pope. As Ugucho of Pisa says, he's of lower rank than any other Catholic. Minor quolibet catholico is the term they use in Latin. He's less than any other Catholic. So he's not the highest authority. He's the lowest of the low. He's to be driven out, because the church cannot be in communion with a man who is an enemy of the Catholic faith. And that's what Bergoglio is. And the papacy is something that is incompatible, totally incompatible with heresy, because faith is the purpose of the papacy, the unity of faith. It is the function of the Pope to preserve the unity of faith in the Church. And that is why Jesus Christ gave Peter the primacy over the other apostles, and that primacy is passed on to Peter's successors. It's to safeguard the unity of faith in the Church. Mm-hmm. So if the Pope is an openly declared enemy of the Catholic faith, as Bergoglio is, on many points, and Archbishop Vigano points out that he's a heretic on many points, and I have demonstrated very meticulously with the verbatim text of his own words, showing that he is a very obstinate heretic on many points. It is the teaching of sacred scripture and the perpetual tradition of the church that such a person is simply to be shunned, to be avoided, to be condemned.
Good word. Shunned. Good word.
Yes. All heretics, without exception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was unanimously taught by theologians, following the teaching of Pope Innocent III, that if the Pope were to be a heretic, that he has fallen from the papacy. So if Bergoglio ever had been a pope, he would have fallen from the papacy with his heresy.
But as
Archbishop Vigano has pointed out, he was a heretic before his election. After his election and up to this present day, he is an obstinate heretic.
Well said. Completely agree. And I'm not a Catholic. It's obvious. Go ahead.
He obstinately teaches against what is the solemnly professed faith of the Catholic Church.
Right. I agree.
For example, Jesus Christ solemnly commanded his apostles to go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations of the earth. Now, that's very clear what he said, and it's very clear how the Church has understood this for 2,000 years. And then Bergoglio comes along and says, it is illicit to try to convince someone else of your faith. He said, it is venomous, it's poison. So what can we say? Bergoglio mm-hmm. has just said that the teaching, the solemn command of Jesus Christ is poisonous, it's venom. That's what Bergoglio is saying. The man is an anti-Christian.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, there's no arguing that. It's inarguable. He is. This guy is poison. He's going to die soon. Who's going to take over? Who do you see as a clone successor of Bergoglio to carry on? Is Tutu a possibility?
Tucho, yes, Tucho.
I call him Tutu. That's okay. I'm playing on words here, but go ahead.
Anything's possible. I know he's the right hand man. He's Bergoglio's right hand man. If the Bergoglians are strong enough, they could push his election through.
I see him as a real possibility from my rather naive viewpoint. I'm on the outside, but I. this guy is a real power right now. He's influencing a lot of things, I suspect. You know much more than I, but I would think he would be one of the foremost candidates to succeed Bergoglio. Tuccio is a bad, bad guy. Bad guy.
I see other names being mentioned, but you never know. There's an old saying, the man who enters the conclave as a pope leaves it as a cardinal. So yeah. The one who everyone thinks is a shoo-in to become pope is the one who leaves remaining a cardinal because someone else gets elected. So you never know.
But I
think there's a very good chance that you're not going to have just one claimant elected. I think there may be more than one conclave. I think there may be more than one man elected. There may be two men elected by rival conclaves. That's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened before. It has happened before, and the division in the church is now widening.
Is that good news or is that bad news? Is the division widening carrying enough weight to challenge the heresy that's going on in Rome?
It is enough to separate the sheep from the goats.
Right.
In that, it's a very good thing. It reminds me of the words of Jesus Christ in the gospel where he says, I did not come to unite, but to divide. Of course, he came
pretty
to divide.
Pretty classic statement, that one. I agree.
Yes. Uh-huh. Those who are of God and those who are of the devil, they have to be separated.
Yep.
He has to make the separation. Those who are of the purity of the gospel faith and those who are opposed to it, those who would corrupt the gospel. And Bergoglio is a corrupter of the gospel. Tuccio Fernandes is a corrupter of the gospel. They are the spreaders of the poison. But Bergoglio says that if you insist on the purity of the apostolic tradition, of the sacred scripture and what the church has always professed to be the gospel faith, that you're peddling the poison. Now it's coming to boomerang on them because their wickedness, their hypocrisy, their heresy, just their malice mm-hmm. is coming out so visibly.
There's a real obvious satanic undercurrent at minimum flowing through the Vatican now. These are not Christians. There are some good people in there, perhaps. I don't know. But this seems to me about as evil as it can get. And how else would you try to overthrow the church of 1.3 billion people? It would have to be a hell of an evil head-on attack, which is what seems to be going on. And I would think that Bergoglio would accomplish as much filth and dirt as he can so his successor won't be tainted with having to follow through. So I'm not convinced that Bergoglio is done with his dirt.
No, he's not, because he even said to Father Adolfo Nicolas when he visited Manila, the former head of the Jesuit order, he said that he does not want to leave until he has made his reforms irreversible.
Uh-huh. Oh, there you go. All right. There it is. Right
and
there.
Yes, he is. Part of a sect, and it's not just the visible sect that he's creating, the synodal church. That is a sect.
Right.
That is
right.
A separate church from the Catholic Church. He is creating a counterfeit church, but beyond that, there is an inner, unseen sect, a secret society. These people show every sign of belonging to this kind of occult, this occultist, Gnostic brotherhood. You find in the you see him, for example, a priest like this Rupnik, the man who was excommunicated, he was raping nuns. I mean, what happened to Rupnik? Bergoglio lifted the excommunication against him.
Oh, I never heard it. Never heard that. What's the guy's name again, please?
Rupnik. Rupnik.
How do you spell it? How do you spell it?
I think it's R-U-P-N-I-K. Rupnik.
All right. Well, that one escaped me. Yeah, look, these people are horrible. Satan has his way with a lot of people, and he's well focused on the Vatican, I would think, at this point. These people are evil to begin with.
I mean, they've defiled the Vatican. The Bergoglians had a homosexual orgy in the Holy Office building. It's just incredible. And one of the people who was seen there during the time was Cardinal Coco Palmerio. And when the Vatican security showed up, they told him, "You better make yourself scarce. You shouldn't be here. You better get out." But this is the kind of thing that the Bergoglians are doing. But if but a priest like Father Frank Pavone, who is vocally opposed abortion, he's the one who gets reduced to the lay state. He's the one who gets deflocked. And Rupnik, who rapes nuns, gets himself excommunicated, and when Bergoglio the case is appealed to Bergoglio exonerates the rapist.
It's hard to believe, but not a shock. It's just evil. That's all it is. You don't certify, sanctify, or otherwise excuse that. No, come
what?
On.
If you belong to a cult, a secret cult, your members have impunity. They can get away with anything, because they belong to that inner
that's
circle.
True. Yeah, that's true. Wow.
That's why these people have to be thrown out of the Vatican. They have to be kicked out.
What mechanism is there to accomplish that right now? What can we point to? Would it have to be an ad hoc group of people brought together through common purpose and deed and need? Or is there some mechanism there, like the 25th Amendment here, to get rid of an incompetent president, which is not being used? Not yet. I mean, they let this Biden thing go on like 100 times too long. Now they're talking about removing him. He's beyond mentally incompetent, not to mention his career criminality. So is there a mechanism in the Vatican, in the charter, the church charter?
In the church teaching there is, but there is not a canonical mechanism that has been established, but
well, something has to happen here pretty damn soon, in my humble opinion. This has gone on too long.
Well, the way things are developing, this whole affair is developing a life of its own. You say the separation is widening, and now you're going to have the polarization of the two sides. And this is something I have been waiting for a very long time.
Because it's overdue.
Once the two sides polarize,
yeah,
that's interesting things start to happen. The, the situation we've had in the church for the last 60 years is about to change. It already has changed because the Bergoglians are visibly separating themselves from Catholicism. That is something they have separated themselves from Catholicism, but it's only becoming more and more evident and obvious to people that they are not members of the Catholic Church at all. And the more Catholics become aware of that, the more bishops, especially the bishops and the cardinals, those who are of the Catholic faith, become aware of this. That's when the separation becomes wider, and the church has this immune system built into the mystical body of Christ, the church, which is to expel that alien organism, the foreign organism that is attacking the church. This pathogen is to be expelled, and the pathogen, by exposing itself, by making its heresies, by getting stronger, they feel stronger and stronger in the heresy. They become more bold, more explicit. But by the very act of being bold and explicit in their heresy, they're separating mm-hmm. themselves from the church, and they are expelling themselves, and the church is the church starts to recognize them for what they are, and gives them additional pushes. They start separating themselves from the church, and the church gives them an additional push out. And that's the history of heresy. It's always happened that way. I mean, we look at the Arian heresy, how they tried to take over the church entirely. And the great Latin father, St. Jerome, said that the church woke up and groaned to find itself Arian, or the world woke up one day to find itself Arian. The church itself didn't become Arian.
When was this? What time frame?
This was in the 300s.
Okay. It's a long way back. Interesting.
Yeah. But we have a similar situation now. But unlike under the Arians, I forgot the name of the emperor, but he tried to appoint an Arian to be a co-pope with Pope Liberius, so that there would be two popes, Liberius, the Catholic, and this other Felix, Felix was the Arian. But the Roman clergy drove Felix out. They would have nothing to do with him. But what would have happened if they had accepted Felix? Well, we now know what would have happened, because it happened with Bergoglio and Benedict.
Yes, we do.
And
is there any external group yet? Now, you correctly pointed out that the polarization process is apparently underway. This will certainly expedite it. That's critical. The church can't be dealt with unless there's polarization here. It's got to be.
With the polarization, you will eventually get a Catholic pope who will stand in open opposition to the synodalist heretic pope.
Right.
Because the synodalists will have their pope for their church, which is not the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church will have its pope. And they will be two churches. They will be
separate.
Will
there be a name change, do you think? You can't call them both the Catholic Church. Somebody's going to have to differentiate somehow. Maybe it'll just be a literary exercise. I'm not sure. But the Reformed Church, something like that.
Well, the Catholic Church will call itself the Catholic Church, but they're going to call Bergoglio's church what Bergoglio has called it. Bergoglio is constantly calling it the Synodal Church, the Synodal Church. The name is going to stick. They're going to say the Synodal Church is something different than the Catholic Church. And, Bergoglio said the church is going to be synodal, and that the synodalism is constitutive of the church, which means it's parts of the constitution. The church is constituted by a synodalism. And it's explained in the recent document, the Bishop of Rome, that now the papacy, the primacy, has to be exercised synodally.
Right.
Now, this is heresy against the solemn dogma of the primacy of the Roman pontiff that's defined by the First Vatican Council. The primacy that has been exercised by popes since the most ancient times. But Bergoglio says now it has to be exercised synodally, and that directly opposes the dogma of faith as was solemnly defined infallibly by the First Vatican Council.
Okay.
Now, the reason why Bergoglio didn't impose that doctrine himself is because it would not be synodal. And there would be the glaring contradiction that by a very By an anti-synodal monarchical act of primacy, if he would impose on the whole church a synodal primacy, that's a contradiction in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says the primacy has to be exercised synodally. So he sends out this document called a study document, which is really a mission statement and marching orders for all the synodalists scattered throughout the world, so that they, in all the most far-flung places of the world and all the continents of the world, the bishops will gather together. They'll have their synods, and they will ratify this thing. And then, with it ratified by the synods, then Bergoglio will say, we declare this to be constitutive of the church, and it won't be a study document anymore. It'll be a constitution. Mm. It'll be a decree.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will be synodal, because they want to codify.
The Bergoglian synodalists.
Synodalism.
Right. They need to be, that name needs to be hung on their effort completely. The Synodal Catholic Church, whatever. And the real Catholic Church needs to adhere to the name, the Catholic Church. The Church.
Yes.
Something has to be differentiated to make this polarization more effective. There has to be purpose in the names somehow.
Bergoglio has done this for us by insisting that the church is a synodal church.
I'd say. Yeah. I'll be interested to talk with you next time, as I always am, but to find out what kind of reaction is coming back to you, through people you know and sources you have, from the rank and file membership of the church around the world. This excommunication, that's headline news, as they say. So it'll be interesting.
Already, there are those who have the understanding that Bergoglio is a heretic, and as a heretic, it is impossible for him to be a pope. So they understand well that this man is not the pope of the Catholic Church. But there are others who are legalists and who go along to get along, who insist that, as one person said to me, when I said Bergoglio is a heretic and he can't be, heresy is incompatible with the papacy. The man cannot be a pope. He's a heretic.
That's and this a very good point.
This person says to me, you don't have the authority to declare that. And I said, according to Catholic doctrine, I don't need any jurisdiction to make that judgment.
Good.
I have the right and the duty to make that judgment because I, in conscience, am called upon by God by the divine commandment
That's right.
To avoid heretics and have nothing to do with them.
Right. Shouldn't, I don't know if Vigano will do it or not. Somebody needs to make, at this point in time, I would think, a formal statement addressing the issue, not directly by name, but simply addressing the idea that there's a huge schism developing in the church now, the polarization, and to label the two sides in a formal paper that should be released and circulated, so we'll have, going forward, a handle to hang on the Synodal Catholic Church of Bergoglio, the Synodal Catholic Church. I wouldn't even call it Catholic. I'd call it the Synodal Church. The hell with it.
Well, that's what calls it, the Synodal Church.
There you go. I'd stay right with that. Maybe, is that something you would feel comfortable doing, Father Kramer, putting out a formal paper calling for an effort, a polarized effort, as it were, to reclaim and rehabilitate the church, to extract it from the claws, the satanic claws of the globalists who are trying to turn it into something. Talk about heresy.
Well, that's going to be the topic of my third volume, because I've written two volumes of a three-volume series. So there's right. One more volume for me to complete this this project.
Well, it sounds like the time is drawing nigh to get that done. That's good.
Well, I've been waiting for things to take shape, so I would... now things are starting to take shape. So I have something to write about now.
Oh, you do. Yes, you do. The quotes that this man has made, this is fraud, should be dragged out as well and used as evidentiary statements that he is not only unfit, he's a fraud in every sense of the word. It would be pretty easy to roast him with his own dictates, I would think.
There are many people in the church who are already doing that.
Good. Good. This has to be, I don't like to use the word rebellion, but it's got to be an overt, open rebellion against this now. If you wait another year, it's going to be a lot harder. Every month that goes by makes it more difficult. So hopefully, I think Vigano should make a statement in writing. I think you should make a statement in writing, maybe to back him up, to augment what he might say. It's time to make a formal declaration that this Bergoglio overthrow is not going to be tolerated. No.
Well, I did write on the state of the church after the death of Benedict XVI, where I went into much of this, what Bergoglio was doing.
Well, I'm playing a very small role in this, but I certainly have a platform. But if you want to write something, I'll be happy to assist here as much as I can in publicizing it worldwide, and it'll get seen and it'll get read. And then your own people, of course, will do the same. But I would think a little conference might be in order with perhaps you and Vigano and the others who are involved with trying to save the church, which is really what we're talking about here. Save the church. This can't go on.
Well, what I wrote state of the church after the death of Benedict XVI.
Yes.
I'm going to have that reprinted again. Of course, I'm going to be sending it to bishops all over the English-speaking world.
Good.
And I have it translated into Italian, so...
Well, if you want me to post it in English, I'll post it. Anything I can do to help. I'm, again, just a concerned... a human being on the planet and watching. I don't like these kinds of... beyond travesty, these are really outrageous betrayals of the faithful of 2,000 years of history. It's not good at all. No. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts, and do keep me posted. If I can do anything to help, I will. And we're watching. Thank you, Father Kramer.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. That's it. Friday night. Weekend. Do prepare. I know, I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record. Many people listening may not even know what a record is. I don't know. But you've got to protect yourself. No one's going to do it unless you do. All right, words to the wise. Talk to you soon. Have a safe weekend, and be well.